Let us now then draw our attention to God's Word and examine what the Proverbs say on the subject of lying. Proverbs on the subject of lying. Before we examine God's words, let us pray. And I want you to agree with me as we pray that the Lord will hear our prayers for help, that we will understand His words, that we will accept them with joy, that it will change, His words will change our lives for His glory and for our good. Let us pray. Now, Lord, as we come before Your throne of grace, hear our cry for help. For we confess there's some things in Your words are difficult to understand. And even things that are not difficult to understand, they're difficult to accept. Because we have our own sense of morality and we like to fight against Your law. Lord, make us moldable, malleable, that we will accept how You would turn us by Your word. For we know whatever You do through us is good for us. And so we trust Your name. We trust Your promises. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it is amazing that the tongue, the perfect organ used for beautiful praise to the Lord, has become the source of great lies to hurt others and yourself, and to lead them away from God to their destruction in hell. Yes, your tongue can send people to hell. Knowing this, we will examine your mouth today. It's a mouth examination. Isn't that fun? And see how the Lord, through the wise Solomon, would teach you how to keep your mouth clean and to use it for its intended purpose. Now, we will not examine the teaching on justifiable lie, because we have dealt with that before, and we will deal with it at some future time. But I'll make one comment about that, since many people would have questions about that. To say this, if God would allow you to murder someone to protect innocent life, as in self-defense or war, He will certainly permit you to lie to protect innocent life in self-defense and war. Well, let's get started on the subject of lying, as the wise man Solomon spoke to us, or God through Solomon spoke to us. Our headings are the need for truth, second, the results of lying, and third, the motivation to speak the truth. The need for truth, the results of lying, and the motivation to speak the truth. Our goals are that you will see the benefits of speaking the truth, that you will see the danger of lying, and that you will therefore be motivated to pursue the knowledge of truth and to speak truth. Be motivated to pursue the knowledge of truth and to speak truth. We'll not just leave you with the facts, but how is it that you would be able to be moved towards speaking the truth? Let us then begin with the need for truth. No one would accept something unless they see a sense of it, a need for it. We begin then under two headings under the need for truth in particular. First of all, there is a social requirement to speak the truth. Or we could say a social and political requirement to speak the truth. A. Chaos takes over a justice system that can't rely on faithful witnesses. So to maintain order, especially in court, you must speak truth. There's one verse that's probably in the wrong place in your sermon notes, but I'll point that out to you in a second. Proverbs 14:5 says, a faithful witness does not lie. A good witness in court in particular does not lie, but false witness utter lies. Proverbs 29:14, the king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever. So there's a verse that reminds you, if you want to have a country in which there is order, if you want to have a government that will last forever and not collapse, as many countries in the world have done. You've seen what happened recently with the Soviet Empire. Lying to people about the promise of the future, promising utopia, the perfect life. Telling people they could get it. Finding out it was a lie. What happened? Any country where there's no justice system, where you can rely on faithful witnesses. As some of you are from China, know what happened. By the way, you know where the sunglasses developed. Someone sent me this week. The sunglasses developed in China, where the judges would cover their eyes when they were in court, so people couldn't see what they were thinking. If you have a judge who takes bribes, as the Chinese learn about passing that red envelope under the table, if you don't have good justice system, the whole thing falls apart. It becomes corrupt. And you have a culture of bribery and corruption. The poor will get no justice. You must have truth to maintain social order in society. Proverbs 14:22. Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. Mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. That's the work of the judges. That's the work of even the legislature. The judges are only good when they and avoid chaos when they use mercy and truth as their guide. Second, the social requirement to speak the truth. Stability and peace come to country when leaders, that's a legislature now, establish and defend truth. Mercy and truth preserve the king, not just the country now, but the government itself, the leaders. And by loving kindness, he upholds his throne. Proverbs 17:7, excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. Lying lips to a prince is not becoming of him. Lying lips are not useful. We'll talk about some of the results in a minute. I know you're probably thinking of some of them. But it's not just a social and political need for truth. There's a spiritual requirement for speaking truth. A spiritual requirement for speaking truth. The spiritual requirement to speak the truth about who you are, about who God is, about what Christ did for you. It is truth that makes a man free from sin. Truth and only truth. Proverbs 16:6 says, in mercy and truth, atonement. And by the way, you have to learn that word. We'll talk a lot about it next week. Atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. In mercy and truth. It is truth that makes a man free from sin. Second, it is truth that guides people how to live after they become Christians. Not only to become Christians, but truth guides the Christian in his life. Proverbs 2:17 says, he who speaks truth declares righteousness. Remember the word I used for righteousness in the Bible studies? Right living. You want right living, it must be guided by truth. But a false witness speaks deceit. Third, you're able and motivated to speak truth because the personification of truth is in you. What comes from the fountain of the mouth is what flows from the heart, what is inside of the heart. What did Jesus say? I am the way. I am the truth. I reflect truth. I speak truth. And if Christ is in you, then your mouth will reflect that truth. That will do two things for people. First of all, lead them to Christ. Second, guide them in their Christian life. For Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through Him, through truth. Truth, and the other one is mercy, is one of the two main evidence of true love. Now we begin to see some sense of it. If you are commanded to love your neighbor, you are to speak truth to him. You are to show mercy to him, but you are also required to speak truth. And since loving is a command, it means you are commanded to speak truth. You're commanded to tell the world the truth about Jesus Christ. Not be ashamed of it or hide away from it when people ask you about what you believe. Because it's the truth that will set them free. It is the truth that will guide them in their Christian life. Now, that's the first point. Man needs truth, and you have truth because Christ is in you. What happens if you don't speak the truth? What are the results of lying? One, lying makes people physically poor and even kills them. Yes, physically kills them. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. You can destroy people by lying to them. You can crush them. You can kill them. And everyone suffers from lying. You might be the most innocent person. People can tell lies about you. So the saying goes, the purity of the lamb does not save it from the wolf or from the liar. The purity of the lamb. You might have the most beautiful little lamb. The wolf doesn't think, oh, he's clean and nice, I wouldn't eat him. Liars will attack everyone. In fact, by lying against the accused, innocent people have been executed. Many times, innocent people have been executed. On the other hand, there are some who lie to protect the criminal. And in such a case, he hurts the innocent families, causes many painful times, because someone lies to protect. For example, they may give an alibi to some criminal who did something wrong, but they cover for him lying. You also have, and now we see the practical part of this, the results of lying. You find a lot of advertisements. You look around you, you'll see how much of them tell lies. You buy the product, it's going to change your life. Well, not really. Advertisements often are full of lies that make people believe they need something. You have not lived until you have tried this. Sure you have lived. And sure you will continue to live even if you never have that product. Or they lie about the quality of the product. This thing is going to last forever. I got one of those shake lights that they're supposed to have a truck run over and it's still in one piece. Well, I never had a truck run over mine and it's already broken. It was supposed to be unbreakable. You know those LED lights that they told you that you put those LED lights, they're unbreakable? That's not true. You know they tell you it'll last for 25 years? Mine didn't last for 25 days. That's not true. But they will tell you this, they would lie and tell you, oh, this thing, product is guaranteed for such a long time. People lie. Lying is all around. Lying caused people to go into debt. They tell them, hey, this is going to fix your problem. If you have problems paying off your debt, what you really need is to go into more debt. Take out another mortgage on your house. Get into deeper debt. And people think, oh, yeah, well, this is the solution to the problem. They said so on TV, they must be telling the truth. That's why many people have been ruined. Have fun. Come to Casino-rama. How many people have had their lives destroyed That's not fun. Gambling is not fun. Gambling is foolish. Absolutely foolish. How many people commit suicide after gambling and putting themselves in debt? Jumping in front of trains. Spending so much. And you hear this, oh, you don't have to worry about you spend now, you can pay later. Many people can't pay later. And this is why there's so much sadness, because people listen to lies and people tell lies. Lying lips in the Bible are actually compared to a poisonous snake, a serpent, that once it touches you, it kills you. So the result of lying, it kills people. Second, God hates liars, and liars hate themselves. Proverbs 16:7, there are six things, and we'll read, this is the verse before, there are six things, even seven, that the Lord hates, things He cannot stand. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A lying tongue. Listed as number two on the list of seven things that God really hates. Why? Because lying lips rob God of the glory due to His name. For if you lie, you cause men not to glorify God. If you lie and you sell a product, and then the person is frustrated, goes into debt, goes into depression, dies, you have robbed God of the glory that should go to Himself from that person. And that is why God hates the liar, because liars rob God of the glory that should go to Him. Lying causes men to become bitter if they've been lied to. They become disappointed. They become angry. And remember how jealous God is for His glory. When God says, you shall have no other gods before My face, that was not some first thoughts about the command. That's the foundational command of all. No other God but God in heaven. He hates anyone who denies Him the glory. Remember the judgment He brought upon Jeroboam and Israel when He caused the 10.5 tribes in the north to secede. And Jeroboam said, here is Bethel and here is Dan. Let's spread out and worship idols made here. These are your real gods. These are the gods who brought you out from Egypt. Remember what He told through the messenger, He told Jeroboam, there will not be a young man. No one will ever get old. No one will reach middle age in your family. They'll all die young. The consequence, the anger of God because they were robbing God of worship by using lies. God became very angry against them. In fact, the man who lies is acting as if he hated his own life. Like Proverbs 29:24, whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth but reveals nothing. Now remember in the Old Testament that the one who falsely testified in court would receive the sentence he hoped the other person would get. He was really hating your own life if you lied. It means you're saying, I don't care if I die. Because that's what would happen if you try to lie against someone to get them executed. If you were found out, you were executed instead of the other person. It's a sign of hating them, of one hating himself. Number three, the results of lying. Lying causes spiritual death. So far we've talked about killing other people or even getting killed yourself. But lying also causes spiritual death. Proverbs 12:19 says, the truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. That's your own spiritual death. Just for a moment, and then you'll be cut off. That's what the Bible says. Bible speaks of hell being reserved for liars. Proverbs 8:7, my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. An abomination is a dirty, rotten thing that deserves hell. And that's what happens to you if you were to lie to other people. You cause them to become abominable to God because they follow your lies. Just like at the beginning I said, truth leads men to Christ. Truth leads men after they become Christians to grow in grace. And so the opposite is true. If you tell lies, you're leading men to death. Abomination leads to desolation and destruction. There are no liars in heaven. They're all sent to hell. Further, to hide the truth of the gospel from a man for any reason whatsoever is to contribute to man's conviction and sentence to hell. Also look at Proverbs 21:6. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. In reality, they think they're doing something good. They're going to get rich. But they're actually going to be in hell. Spiritual death. Now today, many directly contribute to the spiritual death of themselves and others by lying. Look and consider this. These things. The lawyer who knowingly defends the guilty person. Note what I said. Who knowingly defends the guilty person. He's contributing to the spiritual death of that man. I know you hear a lot of self-righteous talk that we all have the right to an attorney. If you're guilty, you should take your punishment. Not try to get off by saying, I'm not guilty. Not because it's legal, it means it's moral. I'm a lawyer who defends a known murderer, a known criminal, is contributing to the spiritual destruction of that person. But there are smaller cases. For example, a mother who lies to spare her children punishment from their father. This is a very common problem, even in Christian circles, where the mothers cover the sins of the children so that children would not be disciplined. You're contributing to the moral destruction of those children. Let's look at some of the government lies that really lead to spiritual death. You hear the government says, well, abortion is not murder. It's a woman's reproductive choice. That's why abortions are now called reproductive services. It's nothing to do with reproduction. It has to do with the opposite. It's stopping reproduction. But the government calls it by a nice name and says, it's not murder. You will not be prosecuted. Hey, in Canada you can have a baby born alive and leave it to die and it's legal. Because the government says it is. It is okay. Not with God. When you do that, and I had a meeting a couple of years ago with a girl who had an abortion. And she really believed what the doctors told her. Oh, it was very soon, so it doesn't matter. The doctor says before 6 weeks it's okay. It's not a real person. Those are lies that contribute to the judgment of God, the spiritual death. You hear today from the government, spanking the child will destroy his life. When God says, if you don't spank your child, it means you hate your child. That's what God says. But the government says, no, that's a lie. God is lying to you. We know better. Hear the government say, alternative lifestyles are healthy. For one, they're not. We know that. Evidence shows that. But more importantly, God says that. These alternative lifestyles that we have today. Somehow they're healthy. I heard one NDP politician recently say, everyone has the right to the internet. I thought for a minute, how idiotic. Where did we get these rights from? Those are lies. And when children are trained, the government says, I must get these things. I have a right to these things. And you have to provide them for me. They'll probably call internet a necessity of life soon. And they'll probably charge you if you don't have internet in your home. You think it's foolish, but you watch. A government has done more and more foolish things. It lies and says, this is a right. Or it's okay to spy on your parents and report to the government. They train children with telephone numbers. Hey, if your mother spies you, here's the number, call me. I'll come and get you. To report on their own parents. Government tells you you should think highly of yourself. You're good. Where the Bible says you should not think highly of yourself, you're bad. You should think highly of God and His work of saving you. We have a government that says the murderer must be rehabilitated, not executed. That's a lie. The Bible says the murderer should be executed. Government says stealing money from some to give to others is fair. That's another lie. So the government goes about saying, makes the law, it's okay to do so, so they'll take money from whoever has and give to those who don't have or those who refuse to work. When government do these things, they take away from the sense of the seriousness of sin. And when you take away the seriousness of the sense of sin, you contribute to the spiritual death of the person. Because the sense of sin is gone. Well, it's not wrong to do that, it's not wrong to do that, not. You generally think you're good. But the government contributes to the death of people by its lies. Number four, people hate liars. Proverbs 13:5, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Loathsome means to hate very deeply and strongly. Why? Because people usually react strongly to lying, seeing it as a personal betrayal to be lied to. So they become loathsome. 5. It is foolish to lie. It just makes no sense to lie. Proverbs 10:18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. It's just foolish to lie. There's no good that comes from lying. That's why it's foolish. There's no good that comes from it. Because if the person you lie to finds out, they will hate you. God knows all lies. He will punish you. You have a guilty conscience. It will eat away at you. What good can come from lying? No spiritual benefits. Only guilty consciences. Summarizing then this section of the dangers of lying. Lying robs Christ of His glory. That's why God hates lying. Because it robs Him of His glory. And for you, it's no good for you either. It robs you of your blessing in heaven. How? You see, dead men don't worship. Lying kills, and dead men don't worship. Deceived men don't worship well either. If people are fooled and say all of these are different ways of worshiping God, which is one of the biggest lies, it's okay to worship like this, it's okay to change this and to change that, and worship has become polluted and perverted, God hates that kind of lying. Now, let's get to motivation then. Why should you speak the truth? Point number 3. Motivation to speak the truth. 1. You have to practice truth. Like a child learning to print his first letters, you must do it simply. You must do it often. Then you will get the hang of it. A child may start writing and you see his prints and you think, oh, this is not very good. But give the child a few weeks of practicing and you see the handwriting developing and getting better and better. And that's what the Bible says. Look at Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Write them. That's the idea of making that impression, that digging into the object. Now we think of writing today as writing on top of things. But when you wanted to mark something, you'd have to carve it out like in leather. You would dig into the leather to make the form of the letter. And that's what we're learning here. You have to practice doing it. It takes effort, work. Speak the truth, even in small things. Keep practicing that. If you forget a meeting, don't say, oh, I was tied up, I couldn't get to the meeting. Say, I forgot, I'm sorry. Or some people are ashamed to say that they, oh, we have to go to worship on Sunday. We can't go to Niagara Falls. So they make up some other excuse. Tell the people, I can't go there because I'm a Christian and I must worship my God on Sunday. He might laugh at you. Maybe not. Maybe he'll want to know why is it that you give up such a fun thing like going to Niagara Falls. Instead, you go to church. You never know. Speak the truth, even in small things. Number two. Truth is a good long-term investment. You want motivation? Think of it this way. That's what the Bible says. Truth is a long-term investment for you and for your neighbor. Through truth, you're saved. Through truth, you're sanctified. That's what Proverbs 23:23 says. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy it. Hold it. It's a good long-term investment. It's good for you. It's good for your children. It's good for your everyone around you. Hold on to truth. You know, in ancient Israel, when you bought land or when the land was yours, you could not sell it. It was in your family. You could rent it out for a while or lease it out for a while. But then when the year of Jubilee was finished, it came back to you. That's what he's saying here. Hold on to it. Invest in it. Yeah, real estate is nice. But investing in truth is even better. It doesn't go up and down in the market. There's not one year where you lose your investment because you spoke truth. It is always accumulating value in heaven. Truth makes your children grow. Truth takes care of them when they're gone from the home. That's the thing that will last forever. Yes, it's okay for our ESPs. Yes, it's okay to give an inheritance to your children. But give them along with those things. Give them things that will last forever. That will give them true benefits. Number three. Third motivation for speaking the truth. The Lord rejoices when you speak the truth and will certainly reward you. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination, something dirty to the Lord. For those who deal truthfully are His delight. Delight. The Lord loves it when you speak the truth. And when the Lord rejoices, He rewards. And as I like to say, His rewards are out of this world. His rewards are out of this world. Let us conclude. There are some people who do not bridle their lips, and so they lie. In doing this, they follow their father. As John 8:44 says, who is the devil? Whose name means liar or the slandering one? But you must speak the truth. The truth you speak is food to man. The lips of the righteous, the Bible says, feed many. You feed him truth so that he would find life. He learns how he can be saved from his sins. You feed him truth so that he would be guided in his Christian life. He would know how to live, how to love, how to worship, how to serve His living God. Stop lying. Making a false statement with the intention of deceiving, like making false oaths. But there are many other ways of lying. We read some of them from Psalm 5. We sang about some there. You can lie by pretending. You can lie by flattery. You can lie by gesticulations. You can lie by even saying words that sound like truth. You don't have to say words to lie sometimes. A wink and a nod. Give people the impression something is true when it is not. You don't have to say the words, but you can lie. You can lie by silence. For example, when you should speak and you don't, that's a lie. If you refuse to give evidence to clear someone in court and you don't, that's a lie. And in fact, lying by silence can be an act of murder. If you allow an innocent person to have his life destroyed because you don't speak, you're guilty of murder too. Now, you've been warned about truth. I've told you the truth. Give attention to God's truth. Finally, God is able to change the lips of any liar and put truth on your lips. Why? Because Jesus took the punishment for all your lies. When Jesus was on the cross, He took all your sins. If you acknowledge that today, that you have been a liar, and that you have used your lips for hurting others, God can change you today. From today, you can use your lips for the glory of God and for the good of others.